In the name of the incarnate Word made flesh, divine mystery, blessed Savior, and Holy Spirit. Good morning. Merry Christmas. A blessed Christmas to you. Joy has come once again to our world. Even this year, even this world, even now, especially now. Some weeks ago, I came across some of the reflections that follow this morning mingled with my own, found on pieces of copy paper with the references missing. They'd been tucked in a book for some years now, and I found them only when I took that book off the shelf in early December. They have nourished me in these days as I have wrestled with the Christmas message a bit more than I usually do. I Googled to see if I might find the author of the reflections found on the pieces of paper, but I did not have success. And so I share them, mingled with personal reflections, with thanks to the author or authors unknown. On Christmas Day, 1531, Martin Luther preached from the Christmas story at the first service, and he preached from Isaiah at the second service. He began the second sermon by quickly recalling that the congregation had heard the Christmas story at the first service. He told them that they would not hear it again. Rather, they would now learn how to make use of it. That's precisely what our scriptures for this Christmas day invite us to do. The scripture texts this Christmas morning remind us of our vocation as disciples and apostles of the living God. And read in counterpoint to one another, these lessons encourage us as individuals and as a community of faith to take up the joyous and dangerous task of proclamation. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices and together they sing for joy." Isaiah 52:8. If we are indeed disciples and apostles, then we are the sentinels, the messengers about which and whom Isaiah speaks. Our voices and our songs are the joyous announcement of good news to those who have not yet seen salvation approaching or felt the comfort that is about to enfold them. Yes, even and especially in these days. These lessons awake us to the reality that it's not enough to have received God's gift of incarnate presence in our annual Christmas celebrations, even in the different way we had to do them this year. The writers of Isaiah and Hebrews and the Gospel of John ask us to be transformed by that gift of presence and love. Indeed, these writers ask us to be reshaped by a holy presence and a divine love so great that the human body, mind, and spirit cannot contain it. We can't. We are asked to welcome a love so measureless that it fills us to overflowing. We are asked to be vessels, pouring love out through us to the whole world. We're asked to reveal a sacred presence so powerful that it can shine through every pain of illness and death, every isolation and fear, every despair over a world riddled with evil, racism, hateful words, or tweets and gun violence. So powerful and sacred a presence, it can shine through every worldly mask and veil. We have observed, we have received, and now we are called to act as living proclamations. On this day, in this season, we affirm again that all creation is filled with the Word that became flesh, that brought it into being. It is our place to speak that Word, announcing peace, lifting our voices in joy, singing comfort, life, and hope for all God's children. It is our call, our vocation as baptized Christians to act that word, to be channels of compassion, channels of justice, channels of peace and equity, channels of new life, channels of this abundant love. Before we sing, before we speak, we need to take a deep breath. And in that moment, we inspire. Breathe in the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And then we exhale it into the world as words of salvation, deeds of comfort, and as God's outrageous love, even for us, even now, especially now. On this day, in this most difficult year, in this season of Christmas, we listen to the stories that warn us to be alert to the approaching victory of God, which will be heralded not by the first birth of an infant in ancient times, but by the second coming of the Messiah in radiant glory. We are summoned to watch from the rooftops, from the walls, from the high places, eagerly seeking the signs that the commonwealth of the holy is about to come to fruition. Like sentinels, we watch. Like messengers, we shout the news aloud. It's our task to announce the dawning of the Son of Righteousness in all those places where light is kindled. It is this hope that sent us to our porches and our stoops and our rooftops just this past week to watch Jupiter and Saturn show off by overlapping in the sky and forming what to many was God shining forth the Christmas star. The Christmas star when we needed it most. This sign of amazing glory. Throughout the months and years of our lives, a large part of our task, my dear sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ, involves noting the places of iniquity, noting the places where power has corrupted creation, where evil has taken root, or where oppression imprisons the voiceless, the innocent, the vulnerable. It takes courage and confidence to dare to tell the hard truths, to confront the entrenched status of the status quo. It's often painful work. It's risky work. It's sometimes lonely work. It's what Christ did and what we are called to do in his name. In this season, we're invited to a respite of enormous delight. In this season, we are invited to proclaim the places of hope, of love, of glory, to note the places where the veil between this world and the kingdom of God are especially thin, to note the places where God's power is breaking through into this here and now, especially this here. This is as important a task as the others, and it is as risky. Proclaiming the hope and the love of God almost always means entering the lowly places, the humble places, the places of danger, of poverty, of hunger, of need, of captivity. Because that's where Jesus told us he would be. Proclaiming such love means daring to open our hearts and our eyes to unexpected epiphanies in unlikely places, coming forth from unlikely people. Proclaiming this love can often mean standing with those who have been called heretic or enemy or outcast, because they have met God where Christ always is, outside the places of power, beyond the creeds, unrestricted by the rules and rituals, uncontained in the orthodox language or the approved authorities. Proclaiming God's love means being attentive to the faintest glimmer of hope on the far horizon and celebrating that glimmer with loud shouts of joy, with trumpet and drum, with this clash of cymbals and the shouts of delight. It is a trusting act, throwing ourselves heart and soul into celebration before the fulfillment comes to be. But it is the very choice our loving God made, to be born into time and space before the world was ready. Dear and beloved Madeleine L'Engle wrote this inspiration years ago in her Christmas poem entitled, In the Darkest Hour. It was a time like this, war and tumult of war, a horror in the air. Hungry yawned the abyss, and yet there came the star, and the child most wonderfully there. It was a time like this, of fear and lust for power, license and greed and blight. And yet the Prince of Bliss came in the darkest hour in quiet and silent light. And in a time like this, how celebrate his birth when all things fall apart? Ah, how wonderful it is, with no room on the earth, the stable is our heart. God bless her. And so on this day, in this season, on this day, and especially in this season, we are just beginning our task. Beginning all over again as God begins all over again. Today we begin our task of receiving this blessed hope, love, and life into our hearts all over again. Today we begin our task of announcing the Messiah by living into this moment as his body, present among and within this people, in this place, in this time, especially in this time. Proclaiming faithfully in every place the word of God's love and holy presence. Dear ones, this is our time. It's a strange time, I know. It's a fearful time as well. But wherever we are and however we can, we are called to live this word, to be God's presence in this world, to break this cycle of hate and fear and racism and violence. This is our call, to take this word made flesh, this holy time, this life and love, and spread it everywhere. I miss you. I hold you dear in prayer, and I feel your presence always. And we will gather again in joy. In the meantime and going forward, we are called to this holy and sacred task. We are to be where Christ was, where Christ is. And we are to take this outrageous love that God has for each and every one of us and let it go. Share it abundantly with joy and delight. Merry Christmas. Amen and amen.